Should anything disturb your peace of mind, tell yourself there is nothing, nothing, nothing. There is nothing to fear. The presence of fear, according to the Course, is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength. The awareness that there's nothing to fear shows that somewhere in your mind, though not necessarily in the place you recognize as yet, you have remembered God, and you're letting the strength of God take the place of your weakness. Let the strength of God take the place of your weakness. Let the strength of love take the place of your weakness. Let the strength of love take the place of your weakness. The instant you are willing to let the strength of God take the place of your weakness, there is indeed nothing to fear. When you're willing to let the strength of God take the place of your weakness, there is indeed nothing to fear. So I'm going to say it. You can say it silently, or you can say it aloud. We're going to take a couple of minutes to just affirm this. There is nothing to fear. 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 Even if something's been troubling you lately, remind yourself, there is nothing to fear. 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 Take a breath. God goes with me everywhere I go. God goes with me everywhere I go. God goes with me everywhere I go. That means love goes with me everywhere I go. Love goes with me everywhere I go. God 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 goes with me everywhere I go. Take a breath. Bring the energy in.
I bless the world because I bless myself. I bless.
So just remember that you don't have to believe the ideas, and you don't have to welcome the ideas, and you don't have to accept the ideas. But if you use the ideas, you see that they work. There's some extra books up here if anybody wants to borrow one. And the section I'm going to cover tonight is going to be on page 103, if you got the book. The basic premise of the course is that we got right mindedness and we have wrong mindedness. We have love in our minds, we have fear in our minds. There's a world that goes with each one of those ways of seeing things. And the purpose of the course is to remove the blocks to us being always in the right mind, the loving mind, the sane mind. Because the sane mind creates, I don't know why, but the sane mind creates a better world than the insane one. And the part of the mind that loves tends to create a better experience and a better perception than the part of the mind that's afraid or angry or guilty. So what this section is going to cover is the lessons of the Holy Spirit. And from A Course in Miracles perspective, the Holy Spirit is just the part of our mind that is loving, the part of our mind that is sane, the part of our mind that's still in touch with the Creator, the part of our mind that's still in touch with God. And so this section is about if you want to transform your mind so that you can have peace, and when you have peace you can hear your guidance. When you can hear your guidance, you can be directed in ways that always give you happiness. Then these are the three lessons that you learn. And so I'm going to read through some of this and then stop and we'll get a chance to study. When there's a smaller group sent to me, because everybody's sent to whoever shows up, I'm much more open to answering questions and having discussion and going deeper into it. So feel free to take it to that level. So the Holy Spirit is, according to the Course, the teacher of God, the part of us that knows the truth, the part of us that's teaching us. How many of you all believe that there is a higher power? Okay. How many of you live your life as though there truly is a higher power? Hmm. And by that I mean you have no fear. End of hands.
Some of the time.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that. Some of the time. We always want to compromise. And it's okay to go, no, I don't live my life like I really know that God exists. It's okay. Everything will be all right. The world's not going to come to an end if we just admit that we do a lot of lip service to the idea of a higher power. And I believe that a lot of that happens because that's just the way we were taught. So it's almost like if you ask, especially in the United States, if you ask, and as most people, they're going to always say, yes, I do believe in a higher power. I do believe there's something greater than me. I do believe in spirit. But there's very seldom any people that truly walk that talk. The average person is busy trying to make everything into what they think will make them happy based on the fantasies that they have about what would make them happy. So most people are just in the pursuit of their fantasies and trying to achieve some level of physical security at the level of the world. So one of the things that would take us to another level of consciousness would be for us to just kind of like, just to pretend for a minute that we aren't spiritual giants, okay, and that we aren't just, you know, enlightened yet, and just bring it all the way down to earth to where we think we are in the body as human beings, and then watch the Course take a level of power that will blow our mind. We were willing to do that. So the Course is saying, you have an inner teacher. Your inner teacher is always teaching you, but it's always teaching you three lessons. And if you learn these three lessons, you will have the level of peace and bliss and fulfillment and prosperity in your mind that you really want. Anybody curious about what they are? Now, I warn you, they are simple. So when you hear simple ideas, they're kind of dangerous to the ego mind, because a simple idea is always something you can do. But if it's complicated, then we can always say, I'll do it when I figure it out and when I understand it. So complication is really a good defense of staying the old way. So the Course says that, so when we get simple answers, then at some level you just have to either admit you want to do it or you just don't want to do it. But you can no longer say, I can't do it because I don't understand it. Okay, as a matter of fact, the Course says, your understanding is not necessary. That your understanding is not a powerful contribution to the truth. And it doesn't make the truth true. So I used to think there was a link between something being true and my understanding it, and something being true and my agreement. Like it wasn't true if I didn't understand it and agree with it. That's the way my mind used to work. What about you all? Do y'all's mind work like that? Like you really, that whether you realize it or not, you really think you are the arbiter of what's true? So you're the one that decides whether something is true. But what we basically do is just decide whether something is true for us in terms of whether or not we're going to side with that idea or we're not going to side with that idea. But it still has nothing to do with the truth of it. So the truth is that you are loved. The truth is you are lovable. The truth is you are powerful. The truth is you are free. The truth is you are not a body. The truth is you're innocent. The truth is you are not alone. The truth is you are spirit. The truth is you are spirit having a human experience.
Keep going.
Okay. Now, whether you believe that or not has nothing to do with the truth of it. Whether you believe it or not has everything to do with whether or not you see it. Okay. Whether you believe something or not determines whether or not you perceive it. But whether you believe something or not has nothing to do with the truth of it. It's true whether you think you're lovable and loving or not. It's true whether you think you are innocent or not. It's true that you create your reality, whether you want to believe it or not. It's true that everything that happens to you, you create it and you draw it to you and you manifest it. That's true whether you believe it or not. The thing that's a trip, though, is that your thoughts still manifest whether you believe it or not. So your not believing it will not stop the law from working. It's sort of like in the last few years, so many people have gotten deep into the idea of the secret and the law of attraction and your consciousness creating your reality and all that stuff, which is absolutely true. But what you have to do in order to have that experience in such a way that it brings you peace is to still be in touch with your inner guide, to still get in touch with spirit. That's the part that makes it all work. Because basically, anything somebody tell me that they want, they're just telling me what they think is going to bring them some kind of an experience that they want. So every time somebody tells me what they want, they're just really telling me the experience that they want, that they think this thing is going to bring it to. I want a relationship. Why? Because I think a relationship is going to give me the experience of unity and joy and companionship. So what they really want is the experience of unity, joy, and companionship. The best relationship is how they think they're going to bring it. Somebody else will say, I really want to be happy, and I think if I can just win the lottery, then I'm going to be happy. Which is one of the first things that people tend to think about when they get into metaphysics or spirituality and learning thought is created. They'll usually say, well, I just hope, I'll just try to, you know, manifest winning the lottery. And I've never seen anybody do it. I've heard many people say that over the years, but I've never seen anybody do it.
So that's pretty much emotion that you're inviting in, or...
The truth is, there's an experience you want to have, whether it's the experience of love, the experience of peace, the experience of joy, the experience of laughter, and you think the things that you ask for are going to be the things that bring it to you. So whenever somebody tells you what they want, they're just telling you what they think is going to bring them the experience. And so the Course is teaching us, why don't you just go straight to the experience? Why don't you cut out the middleman?
you could have happiness now. You could have peace now, Earl. You could have love in your life now. You could have freedom now. You don't have to have money to have it. You don't have to have a house. You don't have to have a car. You don't have to have any of the things you think you need to have on the outer to have that feeling. But if you want to have that experience, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But a conscious being knows that ultimately whatever they feel is coming from themselves. The more aware you become, the more you're aware that you've never felt, this is deep, you've never felt anybody else's feelings in your entire life. You've never felt anybody else's feelings.
Deep.
You've never, you literally, like for instance, and that's real easy to prove. It's so easy that it's ridiculous. You could have a stomach ache in this room right now, and there's about a 99% chance or more that nobody in this room is going to say, I feel your stomach ache. I've never had it happen when I had one, ever. I've had people empathize, and therefore they put themselves in that situation. They remember how they felt in that situation and project that they're feeling your sadness. They're not really feeling your sadness. They're just remembering the sadness in themselves. They're remembering their own experience of sadness, or they may even give themselves sadness about your sadness, but they're still not feeling your sadness. They're feeling their sadness. The reason why I'm emphasizing this is that it is the key to happiness. It is the key to happiness. The key to happiness is knowing that you're giving yourself all the feelings that you have. The key to happiness is knowing you're making yourself feel the way that you feel. The key to happiness is recognizing that there's nothing outside of you that is generating your feelings of joy. That none of the things that happen outside of you make you happy. You make yourself happy about the things you think are happening outside of you.
I think it's what we sort of say at that point, too, that no one can make you feel anything, either.
That's the exact same thing. It's the same thing, just taking it from a slightly different angle. Exactly. So let every related thought that come to you around what I'm saying, go for that related thought. The key to feeling innocent, the key to feeling innocent is knowing that you are not responsible for anybody else's feelings. The key to feeling innocent is knowing that you are not responsible for anybody else's feelings. One of the reasons why people are not authentic is that they are afraid of how people will react to them being themselves. They're afraid of being rejected, or they're afraid of being misperceived, or they're afraid of being judged, or they're afraid of being criticized. So they're not expressing themselves because of how they think it's going to make somebody else feel. You are not responsible for what somebody else feels. Now, then the man goes, well, they don't know that. Right? They don't know that, so they may get upset. That's one of the things about learning the truth, is that you have to take your stand sooner or later, which means you're going to be your authentic self whether anybody else agrees or understands or not, whether they like it or don't like it or not. I had a hard time with that because I realized I wanted everybody else to act like I somehow had some kind of power over their feelings too. In other words, I have to apply that to myself. If I'm applying to you, I got to apply it to me. See, if I'm not hurting you, you're not hurting me. If I'm not hurting you, then you're not. So I got to also give up my victim story too. And that's why many people don't want to let go of it, because they're more attached to their own victim story than they are to the truth. So, to go to the next level of consciousness, I would invite you to start chipping away at your victim story. Just start stripping little strips away from your victim story. because I'd like to remind you that you are powerful. And I'd like to remind you that you are only feeling your feelings. So you are only feeling the feelings that you give yourself about what's going on in your life. You're feeling your feelings. If you step on my foot, I'll feel my feelings of that. Okay? Now, when that really hits home, you'll be able to tell, because it would generate more reaction than it is right now. Okay? So your own personal time of enlightenment, that's an individual thing. That could happen next week. And so I don't have an answer to that. But I know from studying and teaching the course for 30 years that there's a way that people react, and myself included, when you really get it. Because the minute you get it, you immediately also see your way out of whatever the situation is that's keeping you from experiencing your joy. It happens simultaneously. At the same time I recognize the problem, the Course says, it's the exact same time I recognize the solution. So it says if you haven't recognized the solution, it also means you really haven't recognized the problem either, but you think you know what the problem is. He says the reason why you know you don't know what the problem is because you don't see the answer. So that whole idea that you can know what your problem is and not know what the solution is means that you don't know what your problem is. They happen at the same time. If all of a sudden I didn't hear any sound out of this, well, what's the problem? Well, I'm not able to hear what's on the iPod. The problem is this cord isn't plugged in. See, the minute I saw the problem, I also saw the solution. Then I plug in the cord. I saw the problem at the same time I saw the solution. The iPod isn't working. Well, it's not working because that door isn't open. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to open that door, because when I open that door, then the iPod will work. I opened the door, the iPod still isn't working. Oh, I know why the iPod isn't working. I didn't walk up the staircase. When I walk up the staircase, then the iPod will work. Boop, boop, boop. Walk up the staircase. iPod still not working. I know what the problem is. If I walk through that door right there, then the iPod will work. Notice I'm going from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing, trying to get the iPod to work. Why is it not working? Why are not any of my solutions working? Because that's not the problem. That's true of everything in your life.
Right.
Everything you've been trying to solve, your pattern, whatever you think it might be, your story, whatever you think it might be, and all the different ways you tried to fix it, and all the different things you tried to fix it, the Course is saying, if you really heal something, the book says, you don't have to fix it but once. You know, if it's really fixed, it's fixed. If it's really healed, it's healed. You don't have to keep healing something over and over again if you've healed it. And it says stuff like that. And that's what kind of gets my attention about this book.
So that sounds like the book is giving us, you know, quick
inroads
to heal.
Damn it.
Take responsibility.
Uh-huh.
I have to look at my shit,
mm-hmm,
and actually give a solution without a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's not how it works for me.
Well, it doesn't matter because you look good. That's the way the world works. You look good. If you look good, you are good. That's why we get more spiritual the older we get. I wasn't nearly spiritual when I was 20.
On a more serious note, that's what the Course in Miracles has taught me, is that if I just read but a sentence more, I'm simply at the answer.
Yeah. It's the easiest path to enlightenment that I've ever been a part of. And every time somebody tries to introduce some new teaching to me, it's always asking me to do more than the Course does. And anybody that's really studied the Course knows that. That almost anything that people tell you that they're doing is always something that you have to do more of on your own. It has nothing to do with you allowing yourself to be healed. It's more grace for the ego is going to do it on its own meal. That's cool, though. If you want to do it, that's fine. That's what I love. Nothing I love about this waking up stuff is that you trust that everybody is doing what they need to do, where they need to do it, and how they need to do it, and you just start leaving people alone.
Yeah, totally.
You know, if you don't want to hear what I got to say, I don't care. It's what your attitude requires, because those who need to hear will hear. Those who are not ready to hear, they don't have to hear. They'll get it another way. I couldn't possibly be the only way that a person could get the truth. That would be too slow.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So a highly intelligent divine being would never go one way would be the only way.
That's why there's more books than this, more sources than this.
Absolutely. I was reading. I had a black belt in books. You know. Especially in the 70s when I first got into this in the 80s. I got into this stuff when I was like 22, 23. And I read and gobbled up every book, every workshop, everything you could think of, you know, just had a library of books. And they all said the same thing, basically. They all basically said the same thing. But what I loved about the course was that it was the truth in a form that motivated me to do it. That was the difference between all the rest of the books, pretty much. I would read them, discuss them, analyze them, philosophize about them, debate about them, and put them down and get the next latest one.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that was my pattern. And I really thought that was enlightenment.
Wow.
I thought enlightenment was collecting recipe books. Never would bake the damn cake. And the Holy Spirit telling me now, Earl, it's time for you to bake.
Yeah.
It's time for you to bake. This is what you say your path is? All right. It's time for you to live it. So I always encourage people to find their path, whatever that may be, but you'll know when you're on your path, because according to this, if you're really on your path, you experience increasing peace and ease and harmony. My path is not a path of struggle. So if you're on a path and you hate it, for instance, if you're on a path, you don't like it, you resist it, you can't stand it, you don't want to do any of it, that may not be your path. I don't know why. It's just a weird kind of, this might not be your path. Like I see some people just battle with the course and that's different from I want clarity. It's different from I'm just fighting all the principles, fighting all the ideas, fighting all the concepts. So to me, it's pretty obvious that's not their path, and that their ego has them studying the course, because their ego can use the course to keep them in conflict and confusion and separation, which is the goal of the ego mind, is separation and conflict. So I see people use the truth to keep themselves in fear. You know what I mean? So ask yourself, that's what the course says, ask yourself, is your path a one that resonates with your soul? Does it inspire you? Do you find yourself doing the course no matter how much you don't understand what the heck you just read? But you still find yourself still trying to do it every day. Do you see yourself doing it? Reading it? Okay? Then you can pretty... How does the book put it? How can you say you want something, but you also don't want to do the means to achieve it? That those two things are totally... That's contradictory. I can't say I want something that I'm not willing to do the thing that would allow me to get it. So I ask myself, when I say I want something but I'm not doing what it is to get it, I have to get honest with myself and admit to myself that I don't really want that, and then start looking within for what I really want, because what I really want, I'll be willing to do the means to achieve it. So I don't spend time trying to force myself to want to do something I really don't want to do. How do I know I don't really want the goal? Because I'm not willing to do what it takes to have it. End of story. I want the teachings of the course, but I don't read, I don't do the workbook, I never listen to it, even if you can't read it, you can buy it on CD. And this is, you know what I mean? So I'm not judging or attacking anyone, and I totally want you to come whether you see yourself as a course student or not, because you will hear whatever it is you need to hear. But there also are people here who see themselves as Course in Miracles students, and so I'm talking to them. If you see yourself as a Course in Miracles student, but you never studied the Course in Miracles, you aren't. But you are getting helpful things that you can use through the course that could probably make your life better. So it's cool to come anyway, but still be on the lookout for your path. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm inviting you to do. This isn't your path. Mm-hmm. It may be another way for you to get guidance and information, but it's not your path. And then those of you who it is your path, Well, I've got 30 years of dedication to this. I could save you some time, so work with me. Utilize me. If you can't come to the seminar that I'm doing on the last Saturday. In other words, take advantage of that.
Most importantly, though, party with them.
Yeah, but you got to be real innocent to party with me. I don't like to party with guilty people.
Yeah.
But you know what's going to happen when you party with guilty people, right? They're going to attack you, or they're going to attack themselves for what they did with you or around you. They can't ever have fun without paying for it with some kind of drama or some kind of guilt. You can count on it. There'll be the people that have a great time, wake up the next morning going, oh, how could I have done that? See, they got to punish themselves for having joy. I like to party with people who say, when can we do it the next time? Okay, now we got to pray because of what we did last night. See the difference? See the difference? I'm going to pass this around. That's the contact list. If you haven't had a chance to talk.
What you just said,
okay. Okay.
What you're saying is if someone's in the practice of the course daily, particularly with the classes, they're going to experience the course differently in a much more visceral, perhaps viscerally real kind of way. Whereas if someone who comes to the course and is listening and having impact on their life,
right, which is beautiful, which is great,
delicious impact,
absolutely.
But there is a difference in the manifestation of what can occur in one's life, I guess?
Absolutely. One of the things of having done this so long is I've had a chance to see quote-unquote success stories. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is that I've never seen a person who would do the workbook every day, read at least a subtitle every day for 3 months that did not have a major change within themselves. And actually, to be honest, in their physical reality also. Even though the course is constantly talking about it's just perception, my experience is that when you really study it, your physical reality changes and things that you've been trying to solve or handle on your own that you have not been able to handle, those things somehow seem like they start to resolve themselves, and before you know it, it's so subtle and sometimes not so subtle that before you know it, you'll find yourself in a situation where you're basically experiencing peace. And things are basically going pretty good. And the problems you thought that you had with so-and-so resolved itself. And the problem you was having over here. So that's the difference that I noticed between people that read it and people that listen. People that listen get really helpful things that can benefit them, but they usually don't get the physical demonstrations that I'm talking about. Because thinking about flicking the light switch is not the same as flicking the light switch. You can tell me where the light switch is, which is a good thing when I didn't know where the light switch was. So that was helpful. Thank you. But I still have to flick the light switch. So the danger sometimes when you just go a lot to a lot of different things and you listen, you just hear where the light switch is. And then somebody else tells you where the light switch is. And then another class tells you where the light switch is. But your past will get you to flick the switch. Your past, you will want to actually get up and flick the switch. So Spirit is telling me to encourage everybody tonight to find their path or let their path find them. Okay? If you're waiting for everyone around you to act differently in order for you to be happy, good luck. Because you're going to be sitting around a long, long, long time. Okay? You know what I mean? I mean, that's the Course says there aren't but two plans. One plan is everything outside of myself has to change for me to be happy. Another plan is my happiness comes from me. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Those are only two plans. The two happy people are the two people who are working. My happiness comes from me, and your happiness comes from you, and you know it. And we're getting together, reinforcing the idea that the happiness comes from each other, and helping each other remind each other that because we're happy, and we support each other in that. All right? The ego's plan, the fear plan, is always bitch and moan about what another person needs to do, and then everything will be all right with you. If you're doing that, you'll be miserable for the rest of your life. And I'm not trying to be negative. he was pretty negative tonight. Okay, so I never let that subject matter get in the way of what I have to say. All right. So, like any good teacher, the Holy Spirit knows more than you know now. So God knows more than you know now. So Spirit is only teaching you only to make you equal with Spirit. You have already taught yourself wrongly. Having believed what was not true, you taught yourself wrongly. What does that mean? That's what you can always do with the Course. What does that mean? You didn't believe in your own perfection. So if you didn't believe in your own perfection, you taught yourself wrongly. Do you want your Creator to teach you that you've made a split mind when your Creator knows your mind only is whole and healed? What your Creator does know is that your Creator's communication channels are not open to the Creator. I'm saying words other than God's just to help to get past the God programming for a minute. So giving His joy is an ongoing process. So the Course says that when you're not open to your Creator, then your Creator cannot impart His joy and know you as completely joyous, because giving its joy is an ongoing process, not in time, but in eternity. So love's extending outward, though not love's completeness, is blocked when we don't communicate with love as one. So we don't experience the love because we are not in communication with that which created us and which gives us love and gives us joy, he says, on an ongoing process. So whenever we don't communicate or join with our higher self, when we don't communicate with love, with God, the Course says that, it's sort of like an analogy, says, God thought, you know what, my children sleep and they must be awakened. So now this next paragraph is going to describe exactly how the awakening process is going to work. So after you hear this paragraph, you can't say you don't know exactly how your awakening process to happiness and joy, who you really are, is going to work. Here it is, right before you. First of all, the Course describes us as children. It's on page 104. It says, how can you wake children in a more kindly way than by a gentle voice that won't frighten them? All right, so if my God is talking to me, if my inner guidance is talking to me, then it's going to talk to me in a gentle voice that doesn't scare the heck out of me. So if I'm hearing something that's really coming from my higher self, it will not be something that's frightening to me. It will be a voice that's gentle to me. It won't be saying stuff like, you going to hell. Okay? That tends not to make one feel calm and peaceful. He says, what the voice for the Holy Spirit does is just remind you that the night is over and the light has come. You don't inform the child that the nightmares that frighten the child so badly isn't real, because the child believes in the magic. Now, what does that mean? It means that if you tell me that you're going through something, I'm not going to tell you it's not real. You upset about something, you got something that's frightening you, something, I'm not going to say, oh, that's just an illusion. I can just smack people when they do that. And that's my judgment. But I see true students do that a lot. They'll go, oh, that's just an illusion. You don't inform the child that their nightmare isn't real because they believe in it. So when you say, that's just an illusion, you're actually reinforcing their belief in it. Because usually they're going to defend the thing that they believe, so you're going to get them to focus more attention on it than they would have if you hadn't ever said it wasn't real. What do you mean it's not real? It is real. See, I just made it more real than it was before you told me it wasn't real. And you'll see that a lot on the spiritual path. You tell them, because people are usually able to always see somebody else's stuff as an illusion. You know, when I'm upset about something, it's easy for you to go, oh, that's just an illusion. I don't even understand why. That's just an illusion. Then you freaking out because you couldn't get a parking space. You know what I'm saying? So it's funny how when it's your stuff, it's real. when it's my stuff, it's something I shouldn't even be concerned about. And this first thing you'll be, oh, that's just an illusion. Well, you know that isn't real. You know.
You're just going crazy.
Yeah. But, and what's happening is that you're making it realer. Mm-hmm. You're actually making it realer. So the court says, what do you do then? You just reassure the person that they're safe right now. I know you're going through a lot of stuff, and I appreciate what you just told me, but I just want you to know that, you know, I'm with you, I support you, and you're safe right now. I know you might be going through a lot right now, but right here, right now, you and I, together, we're safe. And you're safe right now. You're safe with me. I'm not telling the person the emotions that you're feeling about your relationship isn't real, what you're going through on your job isn't real, that it's just an illusion. I'm just assuring them that no matter what they are frightened about, love is real, they're safe now, they're supported now. See, the Course is giving us the manner in which Spirit deals with us, which means that there won't be a point that God's going to is just going to come out and say, boom, you know, what you're doing is just an illusion. It's not real. Love is just going to be keeping you safe right now, assuring you that you're safe right now, being here for you right now. Because the once you feel safe, guess what? You will let go of the fear yourself. When you correct the condition that's causing my fear, I'll let the fear go. You know what I mean? So it's not about me not feeling the fear. It's about me forgetting that I'm safe. I need to be reminded that I'm safe. Because I've forgotten that I'm safe. That's why I'm mad at you. That's why I'm afraid. That's why I'm bored. I've forgotten. Then the Course says, after you reassure the person that they're safe now, he says, then you train. Like, then you train them. What? You train them. So we're in training. What kind of training? Well, you're being trained to recognize the difference between when you are asleep and when you are awake. You're being trained to tell the difference between when you're in fear and when you're in love. We're being trained. The Course says, you know what? You all don't even recognize the difference between love and fear. If you did, you would make so many wrong choices that cause you pain. So obvious, you don't know when you're choosing what's best for you and when you're not choosing what's best for you. So really, the kind of training that we need is how to recognize the truth. How to recognize when I'm asleep and recognize when I'm awake is the way the Course would do it. So at first you tell them you're safe. You don't try to tell them that what they're upset about is an illusion. You assure them that they're safe, and then you help them recognize the difference between love and fear. Steps. So what I'm saying we should do with others is really what's being done to us, but we don't know it. The same attitude I'm being asked to take towards you, that's the same attitude Spirit has toward me. It's the exact same one. He says, if you can tell the difference between when you're asleep and when you're awake, or the same as saying when you're unaware or when you are aware, he says, then you will understand you don't need to be afraid of your dream. So when bad dreams come, you yourself will call the light to dispel it. You'll get to the point that when you recognize the difference between love and fear, or truth and illusion, when you go through something, you'll just call on the truth yourself to deal with that situation, because now you know what the truth is. Most of the things I go through, most people around me never know it. And it isn't because I'm trying to hide it from them, it's just not necessary. Because I can apply the truth for myself. But it's good to have that support, and I do have that support. But you understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes you can be really clear on the answer until you tell somebody. Right? And then when you tell somebody, they feel, if it's different from the way they would handle it, if it's different from the way they think, they almost feel compelled to try to change your perception of what you just said to fix it to the way that they would look at it. You know, even if you're saying, I'm very happy and satisfied with the way that I'm looking at things and the way that my life is going, it's because I'm doing the Course in Miracles. Well, if they're not into the Course in Miracles, and you say something about, yeah, I'm understanding that it's an illusion and only love is real, but their path is about, let's say, focusing on all of the illusion, and if their path is an analyzation path, then they would immediately feel threatened and try to tell you that maybe you need to take a closer look at analyzing that a little bit more. Not, you see what I'm saying? Even though you said you were fine, on your own path. So sometimes as you begin to open, wake up more, you will find yourself not talking about what you believe. When you used to talk about what you believe in order to reinforce it, there surely come a time when you won't talk about it so that you won't deal with any opposition to the path that you feel cool about. You don't need anybody else's opinion of your path. You don't need their input that they'll feel like they just got to give you if it's opposite to what they decided is best for them. They almost can't help it. Another little tidbit. Okay. If you have an idea that you really feel comfortable with, that you really want to use and you really want to manifest and you really want to see the power of, keep it to yourself. Unless you know you're around someone who's conscious enough to go, is this the way you want to do it? Does it feel right to you? And then you say yes. They go, well, I join you in that happening. Notice I didn't give you any of my opinion about how you should do it. An unconscious person always tries to fix everybody. Mm-hmm. A conscious person knows there's no need to. You just give them to God. You go, hey, I didn't create you. Go to your creator. Go to peace. Instead of saying go to hell, you start saying go to peace. And just one more thing, go to peace. I'm going to bed now. You go to peace. You know, you can have the same anger but say go to peace. Go to peace. You know, you can still have the anger. The emotion is good. Put that feeling behind it. Go to peace. You peace me off. You know, you said, you know, put some truth in there. You got that feeling and emotion, you know, I'm making myself so mad at you right now. I'm making myself so mad at you right now. I'm making myself so mad at you right now. I'm making myself not be able to stand you. See, I let all the anger out, told the truth about my feeling, and empowered myself every inch of the way. Just because I owned it.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with you, Earl? I'm making myself feel depressed because I think I'm alone and on my own. I'm making myself so depressed today. I'm making myself so depressed today. And I'm projecting that it's because of what my girlfriend did last night. I'm projecting that it's what my girlfriend did last night. But I'm making myself so mad. See, person says August consciously, you get something done. I'm making myself want to throw a plate at you right now. I'm making myself want to throw one at you, too. I'm making myself want to love you, hug you, kiss you, be around you, do things with you. When I'm with you and you hold me, I make myself feel so good from your touch. Empowering myself. Thank you for triggering this joy that you trigger in me when I'm around you. I feel so good because I make myself feel so safe, and you are such a safe person for me to be with. Oh, you're great. See, that's what you see. If you know the difference between awake and sleeping, then you know who to choose for intimacy. Mm. You don't have to guess. You know. But I used to really, like the Course says, it's so beautiful. Y'all just don't know. This book is a trip. I can always tell somebody to really start reading it because they get tripped out. If you're not tripped out, you ain't reading the book. Because if you read the book, you're going to get tripped out. Like I was reading a section today that I read about. Well, I'm recording it again for the 15th time in just a way for myself. And there's a section that talks about, oh, here it goes. He said, it's on page 372. He says that there's one emotion that we've substituted for love, and that's fear. He says, fear is both a fragmenting and fragmenting emotion. He says, but fear seems to take many forms. So the way that you can tell when you're dealing with a fear, he says, is that a fear always requires a different form of acting out for satisfaction. So when you need to have this for satisfaction, that for satisfaction, this other thing for satisfaction, of course, as you're just acting out different forms of fear. And so it says, what happens when you, this produces a behavior where you look around and nobody is complete to you. He says, when you're looking through fear, he says, the body is emphasized. So that pretty much told me where I was at during my teenage years for sure. I stayed in fear. Okay? He says, whenever you're in fear, you're just seeing separate things because fear fragments. Fear makes things separate. He said, the reason why we think we're separate is because of fear. Now that's deep. Because I had never looked, he says, fear is a fragment in emotion. And I thought about it. That's exactly right. When you feel afraid, you separate. So fear is a, fear is not a joining emotion. Fear is a separating emotion. So he says, so when you're in the deep, when you're deep into a fear mind, then you look around you and nothing is complete. And nobody is complete. Okay? And then it says the body is emphasized. I love this. He says with special emphasis on certain parts of the body. So first I'm going to emphasize the body, and then I'm going to put my attention on special body parts. I know y'all looking at me like I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Okay.
The fragment, you know. I have done some stupid things to get a hold of some fragments, let me tell you. You know, so the course is hilarious if you really hear it because it's so straight up. So he says the body is emphasized, he says, with special emphasis on certain parts and used as the standard for comparison of acceptance or rejection for acting out a special form of fear. Mm. Now that sounds deep because I just listened to it, okay? All right? I'm in fear. I'm emphasizing the body more than the mind, the body more than the content, the body more than what the person really is and what they're really about. And I'm walking in the room and I'm comparing body parts and I'm seeing who has the body that I'd like to act out my special form of insanity with tonight. That's what the book says we do. We walk in the room and we accept or reject depending on the body parts that we are most attracted to or that we think is the kind that gets us off, so that we're trying to choose who we might get a chance to act out our special kind of fear with that we call love. And I went, that's deep, but it is true. If not, we would be able to love the Hunchback of Notre Dame as quick as Miss Universe. We do have body preferences, and we do emphasize certain body parts to determine whether or not we're going to act out our special form of fear with. And the Course says that's what fear is. Fear is a fragment and separating emotion. But when you get to the point that you're waking up, you know that, first of all, you pretty much see that everybody you know has a body. Mm-hmm. So therefore the body really doesn't have to be the main emphasis because there's a lot of them. And pretty much everybody got the same body parts. Most men have the same body parts. Most women have the same body parts. But they're just in different proportions that we judge and compare to see whether or not we're going to act out our special form of fear. Right? Yeah, I have thrown truth away for a round buck. I have done it. I have honestly. I was sane, saw the butt, completely forgot about God, the truth, and everything else, and was ready to act out my special form of fear. And was praying she wanted to act out hers with me. Because if two people who have a special form of fear both see each other and want each other in their fear, then we see it as a relationship made in heaven. I want to get from you as much as you want to get from me. We're made for each other. I like your body parts, you like mine, yeah. Let's act out our special form of fear together. How do you know it's a special form of fear? Because I'm afraid to lose you. I got to control you. I got to possess you. I'm not letting you be yourself. You know, I'm afraid of you. I'm not loving you. I'm afraid of you. I'm so afraid of you, I got to control you. So the Course taught me the difference between love and fear, and I came to realize what I thought was love was fear, and what I thought was fear was love. And I had everything exactly reversed. I found out that the person who most limited me was the one who most was afraid of me and hated me, and then the one that most let me be who I was and the courage who that was and let me be was the one who was actually loving me, but I thought the one who was letting me be didn't care about me, and the one who was trying to control me loved me. I had everything exactly reversed. So the more freedom you gave me, I thought you didn't care, and the more you tried to possess me, I thought you loved me. The truth is, I was afraid, and I was afraid of losing, and so I was trying to hold on to it and cling to it so it wouldn't go. That's fear. That's not love. Hmm. Hmm. So what do I do? Well, I learned how to tell the difference between fear and love, and then I start to call on the love myself whenever I really need it, and I need to call on the truth. I could call it on for myself, and if I really need to feel good, I could take my own self after dinner. Cut the deal in half, that's for sure. You know, treating me was a lot easier. And I loved everything that I ordered, you know. I even ordered for myself, you know. It was cool. So the minute you love yourself, and the minute you appreciate yourself, and the minute you feel comfortable with yourself, and the minute you feel like you feel whole within yourself, the most interesting thing happens. You start to attract more people to you than ever who want to join with you, connect with you, spend time with you, acknowledge you, love you. Because they're reflecting back to you what you're feeling about yourself. And that's the secret to having people around you who are loving you and nurturing you, because they're going to always treat you the way you're treating yourself. So you treat yourself right first, and everybody will start treating you right in your perception. It's the easy path. That's the easy path. You know.
But Earl, what's the difference between, like you saying, you know, there's parts of the body, the obvious one, you know, you crave other people's body parts, or, mm-hmm. you know, the round booty or whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah.
But what about other cravings, you know? Like, are the difference between, like, treating yourself right first, like, you know what, I feel like going out, I feel like Taco Bell right now, or I feel like just having a cigarette right now, or the difference between that and like a craving, like I'll be happy once I have Taco Bell or cigarettes or whatever.
Well, once you begin to wake up to who you really are, you realize that none of those things could possibly have anything to do with your feeling good about yourself. So part of feeling good about yourself is knowing that, is realizing that you don't need those things in order to feel good about yourself.
Right.
Okay. So the mere fact that you're thinking that you need those things to feel good about yourself becomes your hint that you need to do some inner work that has nothing to do with those things. But if you go out and you do decide to eat the Taco Bell, and then you would ask the Holy Spirit or your higher self to use that as a means for your awakening, to somehow use that as a lesson that you can learn to love. Yeah. In other words, if you know you're going to do it, like if you're going to go after the body part, say, you know, let this somehow be used to wake me up to the truth of who I really am. Because the thing I want to complete on was that the course, part one is the course telling you what you do, what you are doing to yourself through the things that you are addicted to or love in the world. It'll tell you how you used to use Taco Bell or a special relationship to hurt yourself or to cause fear for yourself. But the once you begin to open up to your spiritual path and you make your awakening your goal, it turns around and says, and the Holy Spirit, which is your higher self, will use every single thing that you have made, every single thing that you are focused on as a means for your awakening. So the path is not about sacrifice. It's like you like to watch TV, and you used to watch TV to take you totally to sleep and make you unconscious. But once you start to wake up to the truth, you look at TV, and you look at TV, and all you see when you're looking at it is all kinds of lessons and truth. You don't have to stop watching TV to be spiritual. You just watch TV through the eyes of love and through the eyes of your right mind and through the eyes of the spirit, and then watching TV will take you to God as quick as sitting at the top of a mountain in a cave contemplating your navel. Because we get into a judgmental type of ego about what's the holiest way to get to the path. Like, you know, you could never be spiritual and smoke a cigarette. Well, you can never be spiritual and be judging somebody for smoking a cigarette. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you are really becoming spiritual, if you're really beginning to wake up, then you're listening to inner guidance, and your inner guidance will tell you what to do in every situation. And your inner guidance will give you a way of looking at every situation that could bring you peace. That's what I love about it.
Can I throw in one quick thing around? One thing that I realized is it either brings me joy or it brings me fear.
Yeah.
If I'm going out to Taco Bell and it's a big struggle and I'm having to like work through justification or whatever the fuck to get the junk on, then I recognize ego is at play. I'm completely disconnected. I'm not connected to source. I'm not feeling any joy. And that's what's at play.
And that's what
you're saying. I'm awake.
Yeah.
I could still go to Taco Bell.
Yes.
But I'm awake.
Oh, that, and that's what
that's
I mean.
What makes it different.
That's amazing. That's what, and that's why I said, that's why the book just said, then you train them to recognize when they're asleep and when they're awake. Going to Taco Bell awake is different from going to Taco Bell asleep. So if you're conscious, going to Taco Bell, first of all, when you become conscious, and I'm going to say it again, when you become conscious, your guilt about going would tell you either change your mind about it so that you don't feel guilty for real,
yeah,
or don't go to freaking Taco Bell, because what you're going to do is you're going to punish yourself for doing anything you feel guilty about. It doesn't matter what the thing is.
Yeah.
If you feel guilty about it, you're going to punish yourself about it, and you know whether or not you feel peace about going to Taco Bell or not. You know when you get ready to get in your car whether you feel peace about going up there. So if you don't feel peace, you need to ask for another way to look at it. If you don't feel peace, you know you're getting ready to try to attack yourself at some level. And when you get conscious, you won't want to attack yourself anymore.
Right.
So you'll just lose that desire if it's going to be one that increases your guilt. And it's 8 o'clock, so I don't want to get into a lot of discussion. It's 5 after 8, though. And I like to stop on time. I didn't even realize we had got to 8 o'clock. So let's do the love offering. I got one thing I want to say to you while we're doing that.
It is time to go to Taco Bell.
Or maybe your heart chihuahua.
And remember, the Course in Miracles is not really about the form of the illusions that we have. I'm going to say this again. The Course in Miracles is not about the form of the illusion. It's not about the particular form of the illusion. It's about whether or not you're going to choose for love or choose for fear. Whether you're going to choose for innocence or you're going to choose for guilt. Because all the stuff, the Course says, is neutral. Everything in the world, it says, is neutral. It's what you want to use it for that determines its effect on you. There are people who could eat 1,000 Taco Bells, never gain any weight, live to be 100 years old. There are people who are health food fanatics that are going to tank next week. Okay? In other words, it doesn't make any difference in reality. But at the level of illusion, it does make a difference. So at the level of the body, if you think that you would do better to eat a certain way, be a certain way, follow a certain regimen, then you owe it to yourself to do that, because it's symbolic of your willingness to be healed. And if you would feel more innocent eating vegetarian than eating meat, then you need to eat vegetarian, because when you eat meat, you're going to punish yourself for it. But for you to assume that everybody else is going to have that guilt because you have that guilt, you are asleep. Because they're going to give themselves the experience about their food that they're going to give themselves. And everybody, I found out, they don't think the same way as me. It's radical. So everybody's not going to follow my script. That's radical. That's part of waking up, too. When you really get that people aren't here to act out your script, and that most of your pain comes from wanting them to, amazing how your pain is. And then the ego says, well, how are you going to get that need met? You better believe that if you leave it to the Holy Spirit, you won't have any need. There's a line in there where he says, I'll take care of your foolish needs and your real needs. As long as you won't use me taking care of your foolish need on behalf of lingering in your false beliefs and your illusions and your old way of doing things.
In other words, show up.
Show up and also don't use what I'm giving you to delay yourself. Don't use what I'm giving you to make that the goal. Don't make Taco Bell the goal, because I supplied you with a Taco Bell when you said you want one. Now your life is about Taco Bell. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I took care of that need, but don't you make that need more important than the waking up process that you're on. Nothing must be more important than your healing, than your awakening. So if you have some need, yeah, I'll take care of that need, because it doesn't matter. And so that's what starts to happen when you study the Course. You start noticing that whatever needs you have, no matter what needs you have, that what level you have that need on, somebody shows up. Or something shows up to fulfill that need. It's amazing. You know, so this path, there's no sacrifice on the Course in Miracles path. There's no sacrifice on this path. There's just correct perception and healing on this path. I'm going to do another one AMT Advanced Man Training seminar from 10 to 3 on the last Saturday of this month, March 29th. That's for people who want to do more in-depth study with application of the ideas than we can do in an hour. But you see how fast the hour goes. I limit the enrollment in the class so that we can have more intimacy to connect with each other.
Did you think you started at like 3 in the afternoon? I do it on the perfect day,
which is the one that I want to do it on. It works out just beautifully. It's just amazing how it works out when you do it like that. I love it. And so it's $50. If you want to do it, the list is over here. And if you sign up and pay for it in advance, it guarantees a spot. If it's something that you can't pay for today, but you know you want to do it, still go ahead and put the information on here anyway before you go. But it's, the purpose of it is for those of us who want to go deeper. Again, like I was saying earlier, who want to take it more than just, I'm just listening. But they want to go deeper. That's what it's for. Okay, Doug, what was it you wanted to say?
A couple things. My house for Adriana's birthday.
Specific body parts. You want to say some specific body parts?
Very innocent
body parts. Or just want to sit your body part in the chair and watch. That's okay, too. The court talks about the amount of guilt we have around the body. And I see that all the time. Sometimes people can't even joke about body parts. They have so much guilt, so much sexual guilt and body guilt. And guilt is our, the court says guilt is our only enemy. That our only enemy is guilt, because it's guilt that attracts the pain. And so it's not so much what you do, how do you feel about what you're doing? That's what you should ask yourself. Not what you think about it, because you know when you really want to do something, you're going to talk yourself into it.
Yeah.
But you ask yourself, how do I feel about this? How do I feel about this? And if you can, choose not to do what makes you feel guilty. If you do, then learn how to forgive yourself. And that's what the course is about, giving you other ways of looking at it. Even if you do decide to go ahead and do it, there's another way you can look at it. Okay? So I'm speaking at the 11 o'clock service this Sunday, 1 o'clock Course in Miracles class, daylight saving times, and this time changes this weekend. So you spring forward this weekend. It's already Saturday night, 2 o'clock. It switches. So this is the weekend.
Mm-hmm. We are working through 2009. Bill's going to be doing Course in Miracles, and we're looking for some folks to help us to assist him in developing this process, this marketing materials and stuff, like website typing and all that. So if anyone's interested, I would love to have assistance. We have a list, so you guys can get an email once in a while. We want some assistance with that, and any sort of small creative input that you might have would be great.
And the 2009 he's talking about is the International Course in Miracles Conference that I'm speaking at, and Gary Renard and a bunch of other people, that's going to be in San Francisco February 2009.
A year from now.
Yeah. And it's almost, they've had an incredible response, so it looks like it's going to be a sellout. But it's going to be really good. So, I'm here for you.
One more answer?
Yes.
So that you're ready for the dancing, Sajid Green is having a...
What can I lose by asking? At least I can decide. I don't like the way I feel right now. If you don't like the way you feel about something, the court says, at least I can decide. I don't like the way I feel. And so I hope that I'm wrong. I don't want to be right and be miserable. I hope that I'm wrong. I want another way to look at it. Perhaps there is another way to look at it. What can I lose by asking? And I can't have the kind of day I want if I make no decisions by myself without Holy Spirit. So just those little simple little concepts will make all the difference in the application. That's flicking the switch. See, when you ask me to say that when you get upset, that's flicking the switch. So the application is flicking the switch. And if you are reading the book, any way I can support you in doing that, that's what I'm here for, to help make that easier. Okay? So, I'll see you the next time I see you.
I love you. Thanks for coming.
Sorry, I'm a little bit over tonight.
Thank you.